David, welcome to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great Monday. We're going to try our best to make it much better for you. Tonight, we are breaking down the latest hot topics everyone is talking about. So listen, last night I went to Kansas City to see Beyoncé, the last show of her Renaissance tour. I'm going to tell you all about my experience and the big announcement that she said that she was making. If you haven't seen it, find out what announcement she made. Then we're talking about there is an arrest in the murder of Tupac Shakur. This is 27 years after the fact. Find out who they've arrested and what they've charged him on. And then Gayle King, she's responding to accusations that Cindy Crawford made about Oprah based on an interview from 1986. Cindy Crawford says she felt objectified, and Gayle King was asked about it to find out what she had to say. And can you imagine this next story? A woman, she goes to a hospital for a routine procedure. She dies, and she is allegedly propped up to look alive so the family can view her and then find out she dies 2 hours later. That's horrible. And then there is remember the movie Flight with Denzel Washington, 2012, where he does cocaine and he drinks and he flies the plane. Well, there's a real life situation that we'll be talking about from a pilot who worked for British Airways. Find out how he was caught and what the ramifications were. What reminds you all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, of course, our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. Rather watch us go on to our YouTube channel, The Stephen Knight Show. When we come back, the question of the day and hot topics, right back after this.
Let's party like we grow.
Hands on me, she got her hands on me.
this is Dr. Heavenly from Bravo TV's Married to Medicine, and you are listening to The Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. Thank you for joining us again tonight. We have a show full of the latest hot topics everyone is talking about. Then Lania is joining us in our movie review segment to talk about her movie Providence, which you know is doing amazing things. We'll talk about that later on in the show. But I want to remind you all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and of course our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. Rather watch us go on our YouTube channel, Stephen Knight Show. And we do have merch at our website, The Stephen Knight Show, so check that out. Again, this is Hispanic Heritage Month. It runs from September 15th to October 15th. And again, it's where we recognize the Hispanic Latino community's achievements and culture and contributions to this nation's history. It's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So make sure everyone's doing what they need to do to stay healthy. I saw a video today where this woman, she had had her yearly physical, everything checked out. Then a few days later, she discovered a lump. Went to her doctor. The doctor said, it's nothing. You're young. Don't worry about it. But she felt adamant about there's something wrong with me. She had to force him to send her to get a mastectomy. Not a mastectomy. It was called a, what's the scan? The scan.
Or mammogram.
Mammogram. And turned out to be cancer. So make sure you're advocating for your own health. And also make sure you're registered to vote. These are important things you need to do. For sure. Chike, Lania, how are y'all feeling on this Monday?
Oh, just delightful.
Chike, you get something to say? I love the shirt.
Hispanic heritage. I'm muy bien. ¿Y tú?
CCC.
Okay. All right. So as a medical professional, I just want to add on to what you said. Get first, second, and third opinions. Not take the word if you don't trust it the first time. If you don't have that solid relationship with your doctor, will you implicitly trust what they say? First, second, and third opinions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, I went to a dermatologist the other day. I felt, you hear people say they go to their medical professionals and they feel unheard. I felt unheard. Mm. I won't say who it was, but they were telling me all the reasons why I'm having the issues I was having. And I was like, does not make sense in any way, you know. But anyway, so again, get second, third opinions if you need to, for sure. All right, so y'all doing good. Our question of the day is, what is the shortest time you have ever worked on a job? I'll start with you, Lania.
The one that comes to mind would be, I did a year at a treatment center, and I was like, yeah, no, this is
This ain't it.
And I mean, this was a drug and alcohol center. Something completely new for me.
Yeah.
And I had a Karen, and that Karen went and searched me online.
See?
And found one of my movies where, like, I'm kind of, it looks like I'm cutting up drugs or whatever, and went back and said I was online cutting up cocaine on YouTube.
Oh no. Yeah. Not a good look.
No.
Chike, what's the longest you stayed on the job?
The longest or the shortest?
Shortest.
That would be probably up until lunch. I left for lunch and I didn't come back.
Yeah. I think I know what job it was.
You probably wouldn't know. No,
this is before I met you. This is before, you know, life was lifing the way life lives, you know?
Right.
When the bills weren't billing like they bill.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had a day. I did a day. Again, this was in my early 20s. One of my friends was doing a newspaper route. You should do this. It's good money. Good money. And I said, okay, before you sign up, though, go on a route with me. Yeah, that one route, that one day, I knew it wasn't for me. It wasn't my ministry. And that was my... I got chased by a rabbit, by a dog. I was like, you know, I don't need this at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Not Bugs Bunny, though.
How are you chased by a rabbit? Like, what?
Because, you know, usually rabbits, you think they would run from you, right? If they see you?
No, jackrabbits are aggressive.
This one chased me. This is downtown Richmond. GK, you know the area very well. Richmond, Virginia. Yeah. So I don't know kind of, what was in that rabbit's blood, but it was after.
Hood rabbit.
Yeah, hood rabbit, right. Well, tweet us at home and let it, well, do you say X? Well, go on X and tweet us at home and let us know what's the shortest time you ever worked at a job. Stephen Knight Show, SHO. All right, so I have to tell you all, I went to Beyonce, the last show of her tour, last night. I was in Kansas City. I just got back today. And I went for a little bit more than 24 hours. I didn't expect to go on this tour. You know, obviously we've heard about it all summer, but I got a cheap ticket. One of my friends who had been several shows, and I was like, okay, I'll go. This is the last show. It was a makeup show because our last shows would be in New Orleans, but this is a makeup show in Kansas City. And so real quick about my experience, get there. You know, we saw the outfits online. They don't disappoint. People had some of everything on, but it was good seeing Black, white, Hispanic, whatever, all dressed up, all showing their love for Beyonce in their outfits. Get there. The only downside of it all was we had to wait over 2 hours for her to come out. And, you know, again, there was someone who had been to different shows, so they knew when she was coming out. And so we all, okay, this is it. Well, this was it, happened about 5-10 times, and she didn't come out, right? But, and even Twitter, they were tweeting. So at one point, they were playing like spa type music, and someone tweeted, if I'm asleep when she comes out, it's on her because you can't listen to spa music for so long. But anyway, once she came out, all was forgiven. She killed it from the moment she stepped on the stage to the moment she left. It was very entertaining. It was well produced. The visuals were amazing. She looked great. She sounded amazing. Her dancers were amazing. Her band was amazing. She had background singers who had a little spotlight. They were amazing. It was just a great show. There were some highlights. Cardi B was there. I didn't see her, but at one point you hear the audience just go off on one section. I guess when she came in, but she was there. They did the mute challenge, and we had the longest mute. This is the longest she held the mute. And she said we won, but Black Twitter said we didn't. They said we didn't know what we were doing. But that was that. And at one point, she's performing and there's this loud applause. I'm thinking, what happened? What did I miss? And that's when Blue Ivy hit the stage and she did her thing. She got a standing ovation and she was, she came emotional at the end of gets to the last show. And, you know, everybody was applauding her and she got a little emotional on stage. But it was a great show. She started off with ballads when she came out. Then she went into her new album. And then she went into some other songs from other albums. She would go back to the old, to her current album throughout the show. But it was a great show. It was probably one of the best shows I've ever seen. Even though I'm not a huge Beyonce fan, it's just one of those shows you walk away like, okay, yeah, this is why she is who she is. But they kept saying there was this huge announcement she was going to make. And so after the 56th show of her war tour, she announced that she's bringing the Renaissance experience to theaters for forthcoming film. And this is going to be on December 1st. Again, she announced it last night in Kansas City. Now, she left viewers with a 2-minute video, a trailer for the show. And at some point, she says the goal of this tour is to create a place where everyone is free and no one is judged. And then she said, at any point, you could close your eyes and be right back and take it with them. Talking about when you see these visuals. A lot of people are saying, you know, Taylor Swift, I don't like the comparison. I mean, I haven't seen Taylor Swift's show and I heard it's great. But I think that if you go to a Taylor Swift show and you go to Beyonce's show, you're getting completely different shows. But, you know, she was already, hers is already going to theater. And Beyonce now is going to theater. What do you think about this, her taking this for the holidays, December 1st? I'll start with you, Lania, taking this, the behind the scenes and actual show to theaters.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Capitalize, mama, capitalize.
Yeah.
And if I'm correct, and I could be wrong, her tour created like $4.5 billion in revenue.
Yeah.
Just the tour. We ain't even talking about what's getting ready to happen with this movie. Just the tour.
Yeah.
I know I wasn't going.
Yeah.
I got no money. But I am so happy for her.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I saw her ending. I'm assuming what I saw was her ending. Did she have an all black Steven at the end of the show? Yeah.
We're not, I don't know if the end of the show. Well, okay. So I left this right before she came right back out for now because traffic was horrible. So we said, if we leave now, but y'all can hear it. But she did have on black at one point.
Okay,
she,
so yeah, I saw it. And
the glasses.
I was about to cry. No, she didn't have glasses on. So this might have been something else.
This might have been a, okay.
This might have, maybe it was New Orleans, but she was, you know, she's like, I'm at the end of this and I'm, you know, like I'm 42 years old and y'all
yeah
out for me. And like, I was about to cry. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Beyonce, wait a minute now. So
I'm glad you said that. Because one thing she did say when she came out, she said, at this age, I can fully be present where I am today. And today I am with you all here. Mm. I'm with you. So hopefully your energy and my energy, we will feed off each other the whole show. She did say that in the show.
Good for her. Get that money, boo.
Yeah. Chicken, what are your thoughts on this?
Black girl magic. Go Beyonce. Yeah. Make that money. But I have to say, you know, being 1,000 years old that I am, you know, I remember the phenomenon of Madonna doing this with Truth or Dare. And that made, you know, that was a big thing to do because at that time that was unheard of. Nobody's ever did that before. And so shout out to Madge for paving the way for people to be able to capitalize off their tours again and again and again. Because I think that I think this movie is going to be a movement because she's going to make money all over again from the thing that she already did. And I think it's a perfect time capsule for the period in which we're in, and that will live forever for other generations to go watch. And I urge you, if you're young, you know, you're a fan of Beyonce, go back in time and check out Madonna's Truth or Dare. Check that
out. Absolutely. And, you know, the seats I was in, I was at the highest of it all, the stadium.
Call them what they are. Nosebleed. Call them.
Nosebleed seats. But for this show, and this is what I was told, this is the best seats to be in for that show, especially if you're in the front.
Everything.
Because it's a full light show. It's the visual. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're up front, you really can't really see your front row because the stage is high. So you're looking at the monitors anyway. And so I was able to see down. I could see the audience. I could see everything on stage. You know, she made it for people who can't go up front. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because of the monitors. They were huge. And you could see everything. And the sound system was top tier. You heard everything. But anyway, I have to say, just from a production side, you know, because I know for me, just obviously I'm nowhere on that level. But performing, the worst thing is when your sound is not right. But this sound was top tier. And everyone sound great. I don't care if you are a musician, if you were one of the background singers, everyone just sound great because of the money that was put into it. So shout out to Beyonce. All right, well, switching gears. So Davis was reportedly under arrest in connection for killing of Tupac Shakur. Las Vegas police arrested him on Friday, 27 years after the hip-hop artist was shot and killed on the city strip. AP broke the news, citing that two officials with firsthand knowledge of the arrest who are not authorized to speak publicly. Now, Davis reportedly has an indictment scheduled for Friday. According to the outlet, Davis' connection to Tupac Shakur's death is well documented. He reportedly refers to himself as one of the last living witnesses to the shooting of Tupac. Now, in the Common Street Legend memoir, Dwayne admitted he told federal and local investigation in 2010 that he had witnessed the killing and provided the gun. He claimed that he was seated in the passenger seat while his nephew, Orlando Baby Lane Anderson, was in the back seat with DeAndre Dre Smith and Terrence T. Brown was allegedly the driver of the Cadillac. AP reports that Anderson denied Dwayne's claims and was shot to death 2 years later. His memoir came out in 2019, but in 2018, he also admitted to being in the Cadillac in a BET interview. Now, as we all know, Tupac died in the hospital a week after the shooting, September 7, 1996. Pac was seated in the passenger side of BMW, driven by Suge Knight. Tupac and Knight were at a stoplight when the gunshots were fired from the Cadillac. So pretty much this man has gone on multiple interviews with Vibe Magazine, BET, and he has pretty much said that he was there, which allowed detectives to put their focus on him. If you remember, they raided his wife's home in July of early this year, and they got documents show officials collected computers, cell phone, a hard drive, Vibe Magazine feature with Tupac Shakur, multiple bullets, and two tubes of photos, and a copy of Dwayne's memoir. So pretty much he spoke himself into this situation here. He's now 60 years old. Chike, what are your thoughts?
I honestly don't have any, not really. What's really been catching my attention is all the stuff swirling around this arrest. You know, it's alleged that a certain individual who recently made news by doing something monumental with granting artists publishing, and they had to sign an NDA to get the publishing. That was a preemptive move to stop certain people from talking about certain things.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that ties into it, but the rumors are swirling that they're connected. I don't know how true that is, but.
Mm-hmm. Danielle, what are your thoughts on this 27 years later?
It just reminds me of like when OJ got out. And I don't know if he wrote it or somebody else, or it was like something implied like, well, if I would have did it.
He wrote it.
If I would have did it.
This man, is how I would have done it.
Put my hands down somewhere. Listen, sometimes people talk too much. And you've been talking, and you, I guess he made an assumption that, I mean, I'm cool, even though you've been talking. Because see, people like to talk.
Yeah.
We know people who like to talk.
Right.
But they had nothing to say. But, you know, what you gonna do? Good luck, bro.
We're gonna see how this ends. But I was coming back home Friday night when I was listening to CBS News, and they said that there's an arrest in the Tupac Shakur case. I'm thinking, what? I was like, wow. You know, this family, his stepbrother and some other family, his sister, have all spoken out and said now justice is being served. So we'll see how this pans out.
You know what's interesting? Just real quickly, you know how I found out about this?
Hmm.
An elderly Caucasian woman told me.
Wow.
Right.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, Gayle King is reacting to supermodel Cindy Crawford slamming Oprah for alleged objectifying in a past interview. So Gayle King is defending her longtime best friend, as we all know, after Oprah Winfrey was recently called out by model Cindy Crawford over an old interview. The broadcaster expressed her frustration about the situation. Now, it seems the drama commenced after fashion icon Cindy Crawford, who's now 57, appeared on Apple TV special condemning the billionaire. In the series titled The Supermodels, well-known models such as Crawford, Naomi Campbell, and Christy Turling sat for interviews reflecting on the ups and downs of their stellar careers. Recalling a moment, she shared the famed media mogul Oprah Winfrey. Crawford reportedly accused the interviewer of objectifying her body by asking her to pose. So in a clip from the 1986 episode of The Oprah Winfrey Show, Oprah asked her to stand up. And she said, now that's a body. That's what you call a body, so she said to the audience. Now Crawford, which reflects on it, she said, I was like a cattle or a child being seen and not heard. When you look at it through today's eyes, Oprah's like, show us why you're worthy of being here. Watching it back, I was like, oh my gosh, that was not okay. Really? Especially from Oprah. Now, after the clips of Crawford's interview began making their rounds, Winfrey's long-term BFF, Gayle King, was asked about her thoughts on the situation. Now, she admitted she hadn't seen the clip in question, but she did hear about Crawford's claims. And she said, "I'm surprised and a little disappointed because I know Cindy's been on her show many, many, many times. It has always been a pleasant experience. So I would hate to think that something that happened years ago could have bothered her. It's not like Oprah, it's not Oprah's thing to humiliate or make anybody feel badly. As far as I know, everything is good between Oprah and Cindy." Now, Oprah hasn't publicly talked about this, but after this clip went viral, her company took it down off their YouTube channel without mentioning it. So here's some of the feedback I saw in the comments. They're saying, okay, you're a new model on this show, and your job is to show off your body, show off your looks. And so Oprah was asking you, can you stand up and show what you look like? But other people are saying, well, Oprah, she was out of line for doing objectifying this way. Linnea, I'll ask you, as the woman, do you think that there's, people are saying, well, you are a model, let's see what you do for a living. Or do you think that she has something to stand on looking back at it as a young, new model?
I really don't know. Because part of me says that you get paid for that.
Right.
That's the thing that you use. That's what you use to become what you become. Of course, we don't know what Oprah's intent was, but you're a model. And she said, strike a pose. It's not like she said, open up your legs. But I don't know. I feel it is tricky because of how today's times are. But I feel like there should have been a conversation before this. Because she had been on her show plenty of times. I think she even promoted products she had at one point. So it wasn't a problem when you were promoting your products and whatever your brand was at that time outside of modeling. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe you should have had a conversation. And if you couldn't have that conversation when you were younger because you didn't know how to formulate the words, then you should have had it when you were older before this thing came out. Because yeah. I saw a snippet of it and I actually want to watch it. Because I love Naomi Campbell. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Chicken, what are your thoughts on this?
So I watched the show, and before I watched the show, I read an article about it. And the article to me seemed harsh, very harsh, and very critical of Oprah in that instance, right? So when I watched the show, it was still a little abrasive, and watching Oprah, ask her to stand up and turn around so she can look at her. What made it bad was that Oprah did not address her. She was talking to Casablanca, which was her manager, and she directed everything to Casablanca. It's almost like, if I could equate it to having something that you're trying to sell, have it spin, have it turn, asking him questions instead of asking her. But the questions were based off of his positioning to her and what he has her doing as far as being one of his models. I get it, but the context was in the show, all the models are looking back over their lives and critiquing different things that happened in their lives and how they got to where they are now. And Cindy's having a reflective moment speaking about something back in the day. Now, I'm going to jump for a second. I went back in time and I watched the movie Airplane, right? Which was very harsh. And if you watch it today, you'll cringe because some of the stuff that was in that movie, they could never get away with now.
Right.
So there are going to be a lot of things with the time warp. If you look back at it in another time, it's going to be abrasive and it's going to be harsh because of where we are now. And that show in that instant is pretty much what happened. If you look back at it now with the eyes of today, and yesterday, you're going to feel offended by it because it is abrasive. I get where Cindy's coming from, and it was something that happened in another time, but I don't think when Oprah did it, she meant any harm.
Well, and also she says, you know, the way that she was objectified and by Oprah. Think about in 1986, Oprah was not Oprah that we know now. She wasn't this leader. She wasn't this spiritual.
But I think she was stating because she was a female and she was a woman, basing it off of that.
But when you say Oprah, you're thinking of Oprah, who Oprah is today, what she represents. And Oprah was new in her career then, new into the talk show, you know, with that syndicated talk show. And Cindy was new. And this person was a guest on the show, her manager, and he was promoting her. That's and she was asking cool. about her, where does she live? She moved to Chicago or something because she wanted to be close to family. She didn't want to go to Paris, but she's gone to Paris. She was originally in school as an engineer. So she talked about these things, and all she said was, and Oprah complimented her on the way she looked. And then she said, can you mind standing for us? So I get it, but I get what you're saying too, Chike. It was a different time. But it wasn't like she said, open your legs and turn around, let's see your booty. It wasn't like that. It was more like, let's see you.
And I also think that Oprah has a way of talking, and she doesn't mean any harm by it. She just plainly speaks. And let's remember, Toni Braxton also had issues with Oprah and how she made her feel. So I think it's the way Oprah's delivery is and how she reaches her subject matter sometimes. And if someone is sensitive to that particular subject matter, they're going to feel offensive by it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I wonder if, like, the energy that you put in regards to saying that Oprah made you feel some type of way, what about that agency?
Yeah.
That brought you on to parade you onto her show.
Right.
But again, it was a different time.
And again, you couldn't have felt that uncomfortable if you kept going back over the 25 years Oprah had the show.
Because you utilized her platform to keep helping to promote you.
If you watch the show, when you watch the show and hear her talk about it, it's not as harsh as reports that come out in the written text. It's kind of like something that happened and she got by it. Right. I think the press is making a bigger issue out of it.
That makes sense. And they will do that. We know that. All right, well, check this out. So a deceased woman's family is suing Ohio Hospital for allegedly propping up the patient to look alive after a failed routine surgery. According to the new lawsuit, the patient only publicly identified as a 65-year-old woman was said to be in good health when she was admitted to an Adena health system. It was supposed to be a routine heart procedure. However, the woman's family said that when she walked into the facility, she never left. And reported to the Satillo Valley Guardian, his name is Betts. He's a cardiologist who has previously faced questions over his credentials. Apparently, he wasn't even supposed to do this procedure because he didn't have the credentials to do so. So they did the procedure. And while the patient was in ICU, they noticed she was bleeding. They called in a second cardiologist to do the procedure, who he's being questioned as well. So apparently this woman, her records say she died at 1 p.m., but the family didn't find out till 3 p.m., 3:05 p.m. when they said she died. When they came in, they put her on a ventilator to make it seem like she was alive, and the doctor asked if they wanted them to pull the plug. And they decided to do so, but she had already been dead over 2 hours prior to this. So now the hospital is being investigated on their practices and their procedures and on these two doctors. Can you imagine that being your family member? I'll let you go, Anil.
My dad has had two catheterizations because he's on the plant list. So I just felt that in my chest.
Yeah.
I would absolutely go batshit crazy on everyone. Why it's important. You just how you just spoke earlier, Stephen, about advocating for yourself, advocating for your loved ones when they
can't
advocate for themselves. I am there for my mom. I'm there for my dad, and I am a pit bull for them too.
Yeah.
Period. And you can't tell me I would be in jail because I'm too emotional over my parents. I would be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would be in jail.
Mm. Yeah.
Hey.
Chicky, what are your thoughts on this?
It's deplorable.
Mm.
And I'm thinking about, you know, I work in a hospital. There are politics in the hospital. There are things that happen that people don't want found out because it could get them in trouble. And so there are things to circumvent certain things from happening. And as you were talking, the thing that comes to my mind is, wow, so many things, but the word fraud kept popping up.
Oh, yeah.
And don't we have somebody that's in court now for fraud about to go get some money taken away or possibly go to jail for fraud, something like that, whatever. But this is beyond that because this is a life that is now lost due to negligence, malpractice. And then you're going to put fraud on top of that. All that land that the hospital's on needs to go to that family. All of that. Yeah. All that. Yeah. Square footage. Give it to the family. Because no one that knew anything about this deserves to have a license to practice medicine. None of the nurses, none of the CNAs, none of the CRNAs, none of the anesthesiologists, nobody. Nobody with letters after their name deserved to have them if they were affiliated with this. It's deplorable.
It is. And apparently there are other patients and former patients and families that are band together to raise awareness of this and get justice. But I also remember the family, the woman, she was pregnant with her child and they did a cesarean section on her, but they were too rough on how they pulled the baby out, took off the baby's head, and they propped the head back on the baby. To make sure the baby died.
They gave them the baby with the head propped on.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
I could not imagine
going,
ooh.
Mm. All I got to say is Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, pretty much.
That story was crazy.
All right, well, our last story. So fresh out of the scene from the 2012 film Flight, a British Airways pilot faced a suspension and eventually termination due to his involvement in a recent incident, a reported incident, excuse me, involving alcohol and cocaine used the night prior to the flight to London. And he had had the audacity to text the details of his wild night to a flight attendant that he worked with. So Fox News reports that Mike Benton, a pilot employed by British Airways, took advantage of a night off following a flight to Johannesburg last month. During this time, he reportedly consumed excessive amounts of alcohol and even admitted to snorting cocaine off the chest of a topless woman, despite having to return flight to London the next day. Per the reports, the married father of one excitedly shared the extracurricular activities with a fellow crew member before he returned flight to London. And in their exchange, the text messages, he acknowledged that he had been involved in some bad behavior by referring to himself as a very naughty boy. So apparently he met these two women. They end up in someone's room. He loses his shirt. They had been drinking. And they were trying to determine who had the best chest for him to do the cocaine off of. They determined who. So he texts all this to his coworker. The coworker tells the bosses. And so they pull him to the side. They test him for cocaine. They suspended him, then tested cocaine, came back positive. And so he, the flight was delayed 12 hours for the passengers that were involved. And he had to pay a $120,000 fee. But yeah, he tested positive. So disgusted British Airways captain spoke to Mail Online about the pilot's antics Said talking to pilot colleagues, we feel hugely let down by this individual. They said all of a sudden, bad behavior that goes a down route between flights and incidents is hard to believe. A first officer is trained rigorously and knows the law inside out. Their remit is protecting the safety of passengers. This behavior was opposite of what is expected from British Airways pilots. The airline is in shock. This pilot has hoisted himself by his own petard. The idea of sending details of his drink and drug sessions to a stewardess between flights is extraordinarily dumb. Furious managers followed protocol, and the pilot was drug tested and on his return flight to UK. The alcohol would not have been found in the system, but the Class A drug was. He will never fly again. Does this concern you when you think about it? Because, you know, Flight was a great movie Denzel Washington was in. And although in the movie, he did save a lot of people high on cocaine and alcohol, but that was a movie. When we're in the air, and you're dealing with turbulence and everything else, we want our pilots to be sober. Chicken, what are your thoughts?
So say he didn't do any of the texting. He would have gotten on that plane and did his job under the influence.
Mm-hmm.
And lives would have been in the palm of his hand, yeah. Right? I think about flight attendants the same way I think about police officers. You have a deadly weapon on your hip at all times. The public is your responsibility.
Yep.
You're high or under the influence doing your job, you're putting people at jeopardy. Mm. And I'm going back to the point where the government bailed out the airlines for $50 billion.
Wow.
Why? And this is the behavior. So, and I'm also connecting it to cops. When cops get fired off of a force because they did something wrong, they just move to another state and apply mm-hmm. for another precinct mm-hmm. again, and they get hired. Yeah. I wonder yeah. if pilots can do the same thing.
Yeah.
My thing is you need to be barred for life.
Yeah.
And go to jail.
Yep. I saw another story, Linnea, where this pilot, he got through security, you know, the TSA security, got through there. Then he saw some other security and he wrapped back around, said he forgot something in the pilot's kitchen or whatever. Mm-hmm. Luckily, the camera was following him. He had gone to a bathroom. He had alcohol on him. He took the alcohol to his head and then went back to go on the flight. Because the camera was surveilling him, they went in the bathroom and saw them.
Him too, Steven. Somebody was following him.
Following him too, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they saw the bottle, and he wasn't able to fly. I mean, Linnea, what are your thoughts when you hear about this?
How do you regulate that?
Yeah.
How do you regulate that? Because let's keep it all the way funky, like she said. Had he not sent that text, we don't know what these pilots did.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend and I were talking. It's so interesting how we put ourselves in positions to trust people that we don't know
mm-hmm.
every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And so whether it's going to a restaurant, whether it's getting on an airplane, we don't know these people. They don't know. They don't have a personal mm-hmm. relationship with us. And we're supposed to trust that they have our best interest, you know, when they're feeding us, when they're flying us, when they're driving us. You know, that goes for when you're getting in a Lyft or Uber. So.
I saw a TikTok where a person got on the plane, and you know how they stand in the front and they greet you when you come yeah. on? The person asked the captain, "Were you drinking today? Are you under the influence?" They kicked that person off and they weren't allowed to fly. Because I pay my money, I can't question you. Well, you and your homies could possibly be having parties, getting all liquored up and high up, and then you want to fly me across the country, and I can't ask you if you had a drink or if you're high, but you can fly me under the influence.
That's wild. That's wild.
How did you get pulled over?
Yeah. Well, we'll leave it there. Y'all stay safe, advocate for your own health, and be careful who you are putting your trust in. Lanier, you're sticking with us for movie reviews, and I'll see you both right back after this.
We're all alone. Nobody knows.
It's a little secret. That's how we should keep it. Maybe we've been creeping on the low.
No time to waste. It's getting late.
Get up off the deep end. We're supposed to be here.
Oh, no. But it feels so.
Everybody's watching you, and every little thing you do, every little way you move, something's not right. Could it be that I didn't fix my hair? Why would they even care about mine? I don't know why they keep looking my way, Who, what could it be? Why are they staring at me? I wish they'd turn away. Maybe it's 'cause you're nice. Maybe it's 'cause you're beautiful. Maybe they're just too shy to let you know. Look at your reflection, and don't worry about perfection. Love who's in the mirror and then hold her. You should know why they keep looking your way, and why they choose you again and again, and cannot turn away. Maybe it's 'cause you're not.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, how's it going?
It's going good. DC is good, Stephen. We got warm weather back, so it's been nice. How's it been going with you? You've been to any good shows lately?
I went to a little show last night. You know, Beyonce, her final concert of her tour. Really good. Really good. I was telling him on Hot Topics, but yeah.
Yeah,
I saw you did some things. You did some things over the weekend.
I went to a smaller concert at a local club here in DC next to the 930 Club. The Fleshtones, very small punk band, but it was fun. I will say though, my wife saw those pictures on your feed, and she said, "Why didn't Stephen invite us to Kansas City?" So yeah, Stephen, what was this, an impromptu trip? Was this always in the works?
I have nothing to say to you because every time I see you in Atlanta, you don't speak. I have nothing to say. So tell Abby I love her, but nope.
No, Beyonce's different. That transcends coming to Atlanta. But it looked like a fun show, and I'm sure you talked about it in Hot Topics, so I won't go too much into that.
It was
good. That's good. And Chica, how are you? Oh, sorry.
I'm well, Adam. How are you?
Ah, good, good. And Linnea?
Hi, Adam. How are you?
Good, good. Linnea,
Linnea, you missed. I don't know, you, last week you were saying, as mother says, every week we ask him how he's doing. You never ask us. I guess he's trying to turn a new leaf.
Yeah, so my mom's telling me I got to start asking everyone how they're doing. And I say, well, I didn't want to say, you know, they talk all about Hot Topics, but she only listens to the movie.
Right, she watched your segment.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you all take it away in movie reviews.
Sure thing. So I saw a couple of things, but the biggest thing I saw, and if my shirt is not a hint, is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem movie. And this actually came out in August, so it's been out for a little while, and you can get it on streaming right now. But it's the latest kind of animated film, and it follows the Ninja Turtles. So this is a group we all grew up with, we all love, we all know. They've gone through so many iterations. They've done live action, they've done animated, they've done live action again. But we're back at the animated stage. And this time, this movie is partially written by Seth Rogen, really follows the Turtles in their teenage mentality. So all the actors that did the voices of the Turtles are actually teenagers, and it really gets into kind of their story there. They're living in the sewers. They want to interact with humans. They want to be in the outside world. They want to go to high school, and they really want to just kind of be part of this world that they're not a part of. And so they go on an adventure, and they learn that they want to fight this criminal organization to kind of earn the respect of New Yorkers and all the humans. And they meet April O'Neil on the way, and it just becomes a great adventure. So this movie, you know, it was great. Probably the best Ninja Turtles movie out there. And it's in the running for kind of competing with animated against Spider-Verse 2. But this, they hit a home run with this. It's a lot of good dialogue, a lot of good animation. You know, you really feel the energy from the turtles. The story's good. The cast is great. You know, Maya Rudolph, John Cena, Ice Cube, Jackie Chan. It's really a huge cast, and they really do a great job. So I will say, if you're looking for something fun, something enjoyable, if you're a fan of the Turtles, I don't know who your turtle was growing up, but I always related to Donatello. He was my favorite. Then this is the movie for you.
Nice. The animation on that looks different than I've ever seen before too, Adam. And that alone in itself made me want to see it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and I think I might have mentioned this earlier, the days of just doing a kind of computer-generated kind of Toy Story or Pixar's, they're fine, but if you really want to break the mold, you're going to have to follow the Spider-Verse. You're going to have to follow movies like these to really kind of set that next level of animation. So, yeah, yeah, a worthwhile watch. I was pleasantly surprised. You know, I just thought it was going to be like a fun animated kids movie, but they had a lot of good themes and a lot of, you know, not too much spoilers, but you do hear a little bit of clip of Vanilla Ice's Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go song in the movie. So they do a lot of fun callbacks.
Nice, nice. Is that it for you?
Yeah, the only other thing is actually, and so this is on Netflix right now, and it's a series of Wes Anderson shorts, and the longest one's about like 40 minutes long, called The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. And he does a few more of these, but these were actually Roald Dahl books, you know, famous from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and a lot of other stories like that. And it's really a telling of these stories with famous actors in that kind of Wes Anderson style. And if anyone's seen Wes Anderson movies, you know he's very big on setting up the stage, setting up the scene, and just kind of using those kind of funky colors and lens filters to really tell the story. So I've seen a couple of them. They're fun. They're easy, easy watches, I will say. You know, if you're looking for something just to kind of kill a little bit of time and you don't want to watch a whole TV episode of something, give them a shot. Mm-hmm. They're great, and they're a fun time. And I'm hoping to finish the last few series. I mean, again, the longest one is 40 minutes. This one's, they average about 20 minutes at most, so you're not really getting too much of a commitment there. But yeah, yeah, it's a good time.
Oh,
and
good.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Okay. So I'm going to start off with The Morning Show, which stars Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Billy Crudup, and one of my favorite actresses, becoming one of my favorite actresses, Karen Pittman. Karen Pittman's doing, I knew Steven was going to come back in. Karen Pittman's doing double time because she's on And Just Like That, and she's on The Morning Show. I love her work ethic, and she's becoming one of my favorite actresses. Listen, Steven, it's picking up. This last episode of the end of the party, well, not the end of the party, but the late arrivals to the party in the helicopter.
Yeah.
That led to a dun 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 moment. So
yeah, because at first I was like, the episode I was kind of like, okay, you know, but the ending made everything make sense. But I'll let you go ahead. I'm sorry.
But the whole thing, what I really like about this show, it's not just giving you what's up front, you know,
right?
Not just what the anchors are dealing with, not what production is dealing right. with, but it dives into what corporate deals with behind the scenes of what happens in front and how what happens in front affects what goes on in corporate. Mm-hmm. And basically, spoiler alert, if anyone hasn't seen it, I'm about to go into some stuff. So basically, the CEO basically had a get your sponsor party. And he was using the anchors as bait to pull in sponsors. So mm-hmm. He had this whole elaborate party at his house, and he invited the sponsors, and he invited all the anchors to basically woo the sponsors to come to the network and do business. And he was getting like right hooked by people left and right because things weren't going his way. Like the money was coming in, but it was coming in short. He was getting double crossed. And what he really wanted was a major investor that would change the game. And Jennifer Aniston's character is the lead anchor. And she went out on a mission to get a big fish, which is the biggest investor that they could possibly get because he really wants to buy the network.
Who had and walked away, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he walked away from it. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. But she has an ask from the CEO. She wants her own show. She wants her production of her own show. She wants control of the network as well. She wants a piece of the pie. She wants to be one of the big boys. And they won't let her play. So basically, in her mind, she feels if she goes out and gets this big fish, they're going to have to give her her ask when she comes back. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
it lets you know how these morning shows work and the politics that go on behind it. It's very dramatic, and it's very, very good. And the next thing that I saw was the movie that I told you about, Casandro. And this is about the story of the Mexican luchador who became world famous. And he wind up becoming what is called an exotico. An exotico in the luchador world is a wrestler that basically dresses up in drag and performs. And to a degree, you know, those that don't know, wrestling is not real all the time. And it's an act. But the game was already fixed when it comes to the exoticos because they always lose because of their effeminate nature. And Casandro wanted to flip the script. Casandro wanted to win. And so basically, he flipped the script, and he also became like the Liberace of the wrestling world. So he was very flashy, very flamboyant, and very out there and in your face. And he wound up winning a couple of the matches, and he became international. So he's probably like the biggest luchador exotico that has ever been. It's a pretty decent story. It was partly subtitled. Adam, we had this conversation. You know, the movies that are subtitled tend to be the better ones. Mm-hmm. It's not subtitles throughout the whole entire film, but partly subtitled. And that stars Robert Castillo, and Bad Bunny is also in this film as well. And this next little film that I saw is called Providence. And Providence stars our very own Linnea Love. It's also produced by our very own Linnea Love. And it's also co-directed by our very own Linnea Love.
Yes. And this
stars Linnea Love, Teddy Ames, Hirsch Williams, and Roxanne Pugh. This story is about a troubled and traumatized detective who is on the hunt for a serial rapist. Linnea, this past weekend, went down to represent for the film at the Prince George Film Festival.
Congratulations.
How was that, Linnea? Tell us about it.
Hi, everybody. Real quick, Michelangelo is my favorite Ninja Mutant totem.
Nice.
and I like the K-dramas on Netflix. All right, so what had happened was, so Providence got its first official film selection into the Prince George County, the Prince George Film Festival this weekend. It was held down at the MGM Grand Ballroom in Maryland.
Nice.
And this was the second year. And we went to the closing ceremony with keynote speaker Lynn Whitfield, who was amazing. The ambassador for the weekend was Lamon Rucker. And if you know who he is, you know, Chike knows who he is. Yeah. Amazing actor. And I just found out that he's now also a doctor. I didn't know that. But we had a great time yesterday. And just being in the room with all the other creatives, and just going through the motions this weekend because the festival started Thursday, and trying to get people to buy tickets to actually see it for the first time. This is the first time anybody got the chance. You got an exclusive opportunity to see Providence while it was running during the festival if you bought you a virtual ticket. And the responses that I've gotten have been amazing. I thank everybody who bought tickets, everybody who voted. And I'm still processing everything. But it was a great experience. And I just thank everybody for your texts, your phone calls, your DMs, and the love that you've shown for Providence, because this has been a labor of love for a long time. And I just, you know, and oh, let me say, one Chike Evans was also in it.
Well, you know, I'm proud because I know that, you know, prior to you becoming a host on this show, co-host on this show, you interviewed about Providence. And so this has been a labor of love for you. And so to see it now getting the accolades it deserves, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's, yeah, I know it's a lot of hard work. So I guess I have a couple of follow-up questions. Are you still submitting to festivals? Can people see it right now? Or is it like you had to buy the streaming ticket for then? I guess the question is, can like anyone like me watch it at this moment?
So for right now, it just streamed during the weekend of the festival. Mm-hmm. That was exclusive to that festival. I've submitted to five other ones, but those notifications won't go out until next year. I'm actively seeking distribution, and we have some interest. So, you know, fingers crossed that going into the new year, I'll have another announcement.
Can't wait.
Something like that. So that's what we are looking at right now. My ultimate goal, I would love, absolutely love to at least do one amazing red carpet for my cast and my crew. Like, mm-hmm. I want them to have that experience, even mm-hmm. though my pockets are saying, my sis. but I'm going to stay prayed up, and, you know, and I got to shout out Teddy Ames, because Teddy is so super excited. He's my co-star, and he's just like, yeah, you really, really going to have to do something with a screening, because, man, listen. So when I hear, you know, my peoples who have been in it,
yeah,
you need to do something. I know I need to do something. So I'm going to keep praying on it and maybe put my feet on OnlyFans to raise some money. you know, all that. Whatever works. Well, and can I give a special shout out to the love of my life? He was an amazing support system on Sunday. And so was my girl, Tiffany Yancey. Chike did a whole bunch of computer work, a whole bunch of social media work for me. I love you to the moon and back, because, you know, I would have fussed at him. I let him slide by not going. I fussed at him. But I just want to, you know, you guys have really been my safe space in this process of what I've been going through. So I appreciate all of you. I love all of you. Thank you, Stephen. Adam, even though I don't get to see you often,
I know, I'm in DC. If I knew it was this at the MGM Grand at the National Harbor, you could always, I would have made my way down, but I'm out of the loop. You know, I only did the movie portions, and Stephen Chike don't tell me anything about the other portions. So
they keep me out of the loop. I'll tell you the other stuff when we get off.
Yeah. Okay, good.
No, I'm very proud, very happy for you. I know the best yet to come. You're working on this project. It's a labor of love, and the best yet to come for it. So I can't wait to see it. You know, you three are very talented in what you do, creating films and acting and everything. So I'm grateful to have you all on the Stephen Knight Show, this talent. But any last words, Lanier, about Providence, why we should see it once it's available?
So, I mean, just support independent films. You know, you can always go to the website. Bam! It out for you. You can always go to the website, you know, just you know, to keep up and follow on social media. Like I said, at the turn of the new year, fingers crossed that I'm able to put out more information. And things are becoming more solidified. So, of course, you know, you can't. I love that. Oh, I can't talk about it right now.
Right.
So, you know, more things have become solidified. And I'm grateful. So, just I'll keep you in a loop in regards to that red carpet. I'm going, we gonna make something happen.
Can't wait.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what movie making is like without the big machine behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, listen, thank you all so much. Congratulations, Lania, Adam, and Chike. Thank you for letting us know what to spend our time and money on, what not to. And we will see you all next week. We'll be right back after this.
Thinking no one knows who we're in. Yo, what's up? This is Daryl.
It's Rhea.
It's Paco.
It's Aja, and we're the Walls Group, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to go into our new segment, HBCU Money, with the wonderful William A. Foster. Will, what do you have for us this week?
Thank you again, Stephen, and great to be back as always. Today's statistics come from an HBCU Money article entitled Five Ways Black Men Can Invest in Black Boys. Now, these are primarily social statistics that have immense economic consequences and impact on the African-American community. 2019 National Assessment of Education Progress highlighted that only 6% of 12th grade Black males were reading at the proficient level, and only 1% were reading at the advanced level. In 2021, 76% of Black boys finished high school compared to 93% of their Asian counterparts. According to the National Center for Education Statistics, of African-American men in college, only 36% were finishing college within 6 years, compared to 52% of their Latino male counterparts and 63% of their white male counterparts. Now, this one is really impactful and really should sit with a lot of us. The U.S. Census reports that African-American boys 17 and under comprise over 40% of the African-American males in poverty. And lastly, of the 12.3 million African-American men over the age of 25, roughly 50% have only a high school diploma or less.
Wow. You know, it's interesting about this because there was this teacher who recently went viral saying that everyone's blaming literacy, lack of literacy in Black communities on COVID, you know, the pandemic. But they said this was happening way before that. So it's interesting, you read out these statistics, you start back from 2018, 2019, you know, this is pre-COVID. What do you think we can do to combat this?
So two of the recommendations that we have in the piece, one is African-American men investing in supplemental education for Black boys. Now, what does supplemental education mean? It is anything that is happening outside of the classroom. And that means paying for private tutors if they can for Black boys, especially in those core areas like math, science, English, history. It also means paying for or helping families fund trips to the museums for enrichment, academic camps during the summer. A lot of HBCUs offer summer camps. A lot of Black boys and their families don't have access for the funds to pay for them. One of the other big things that Black men can do to help Black boys is help pay for therapy. Black boys often need access to mental health therapy early and often, and families who are not able to get that or provide that for them obviously has consequences. The other major thing that in writing this piece and putting this together was there are not many Black organizations dedicated to Black boys. There's a ton dedicated to Black girls. There are even organizations that have Black boys as a side objective, but there are very few actual nonprofits that are dedicated to the enrichment of Black boys. And I think Black men and the community as a whole, it would behoove a lot of us to look at how do we get more organizations developing for the enrichment and development of Black boys beyond obviously sports and entertainment.
Absolutely, because it's interesting, a lot of, you know, it is going to sports, going to being an artist, a music artist or some type of sort, as opposed to education literacy, where it's important. Very important information. Where can they keep up with everything HBCU money related and all the articles and information? What's the best way?
As always, you can find us on HBCUmoney.com. You can find us on X, Twitter, at HBCUmoney. We're on Threads at HBCUmoney. Those are the primary platforms at which we currently are operating.
All right. William Foster, we appreciate you always. We'll be right back after this. Oh, oh, yeah. Ooh. Hey,
your cunt. Roll wide for the rear to make it. Then we taking over. One time.
Suffer, I'm rely on the witty, but I'm in the setting. Testing it, got a chasing, but a trooper, she jackie. I'm gonna never suffer, testing they got a chasing, but the chupa she checking. I said the chupa she waiting, she checking, she looking like she not know what they are talking. I told her that trouble she causing, the way that she rocking and shaking her too much. On in a fatu mata, put it on me like she from Kakata. All the men in scatter, that all been it, I want in a chocolate. When you tie your lapa and you wear your skin test, when you rocking your tuma, Bange, I want my ready. Chamu, I won't take you. Anything you want, I give it to you. Take my name, my money, my car, my clothes, my everything, my everything. Oh, suffer it, Bange never suffer it. Suffer it, I'm rely on the waiting. But I'm in the setting. Testing it, got the chasing. For the juba, she jacking. Mange never suffer, Mange never suffer, I'm rely on the waiting. But I'm in the setting. Testing it, got the chasing. For the juba, she jacking.
What play you non see fun get capping? Like I said before, hungry line blocking. You leave it, another scamming with bop it. Grab it, squeeze it, with dry fist. That a time, you will be trying how to catch it. You know you missing a casa by Rebete. You fix it, old fire trying how to catch it. Then you won't speak serious now till they get. Pretty girl, let me take you out of dinner. I got a cheddar, forgive me, I was a sinner. Gonna be better from January down to December. Take trips, go to spas, even in the winter. So sexy, gorgeous, and beautiful. Everything that we do is memorable. I'm feeling you from your head down to your toes. Don't have to speak on it, I'm gonna show.
I'm rely on the waiting. But I'm in the setting. Testing it, got it chasing. But the chupa, she jacking. I'm gonna never suffer. Testing they got it chasing, but the juba she checking.
Anytime she walking, the boy them be watching. Anytime she walking, the boy them be jaking. Baby girl you temptation, anytime you turn girl you confusion. Baby girl you temptation, anytime you turn girl you confusion.
Testing it, got it chasing. For the juba, she jacking. Mange never suffer, Mange never suffer, I'm rely on the waiting. But I'm in the setting. Testing it, got it chasing. For the juba, she jacking.
Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Angie Stone. And you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show. Keep it locked.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned business. Tonight we're highlighting DBS Sounds. Music lovers can spend hours looking through incredible selection of music, vinyl, books, and other miscellaneous things at DBS Sounds. It's in Riverdale here in Atlanta, Georgia. Check them out. There'll be a link in the bio of this video. Thank you for joining us tonight. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you again next Monday. Good night.
Everything's gonna be alright. And when we get there, I'ma see a pretty, pretty, pretty young thing. I'ma ask her to take my hand, head to the floor.